We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. As political tensions have increased throughout the United States, there's been a shift in focus to online abuse. When Dr. Christine Blasey Ford publicly accused Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault, she was inundated with death threats and her private information was published online. Her email was hacked. She was forced to move for the safety of her family.
Kavanaugh's wife was sent similar threatening emails, but the shock over this behavior has been muted. People have come to expect these attacks on public figures, particularly women.
This behavior is the subject of a documentary screening at this year's Milwaukee Film Festival. Netizens follows the lives of three women whose lives have been transformed by online harassment. Tina Riney is one of the subjects of the film, and Cynthia Lowen is the director and producer. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and Lowen explains why she wanted to create this documentary.
I was hoping through looking at the stories of people who are going through this to challenge the idea that it's, quote, just the internet, or that this isn't real violence, or that it doesn't just have, you know, challenge the idea that it doesn't have a huge impact on targets' lives and that they should just turn off their computers and walk away. I really wanted to challenge those ideas with this film. So that's kind of where it began.
This is a kind of abuse that people write off as, you know, essentially being nasty rumors. You know, this isn't real life. People need to toughen up. There's nothing we can do ultimately. How do you convince them that it's about more than just internet gossip?
I think one of the good things that has happened and some of the progress that is being made is that the more people whose lives are intricately intertwined with the internet, and the more I think we all understand how we use it to get a job or to get an education or to get a date, the notion that the internet is a real part of our lives is shifting. And that I think is real progress just in terms of the perception of how critical an issue this is. So, you know, I think what we're seeing now are, you know, these coordinated attacks are continuing to proliferate against women in media, against journalists. We're seeing the rise of white supremacist groups who are targeting people. This past week, the people who have come forward with allegations against Judge Kavanaugh have been targeted and had their, you know, families threatened and have had to flee their homes. So, you know, I think that the attitude that this, it's just the internet, or, you know, these attitudes that minimize it, I think that that perception is actually really shifting, which is a good thing.
Now, Tina, of course, this plays directly into your story, what happened to you. Can you give us just a little bit of background on the situation that you faced?
Sure. I broke up with an abusive ex-boyfriend, and he had told me, if you ever break up with me, I'll run and destroy you. And when I left him, he subsequently posted 14 reputation-harming websites. He was committed to shutting down my career and shutting down my social life, which he actually had a lot of success in doing, because people, or at least when I was interviewing people, HR would Google me and then they would see all this vitriol online, and whether they believed it was true or not true wasn't even an issue. They didn't want to have anything to do. It was too much liability to have this out there about a potential employee, so they would actually shut down interviewing with me. I got as far as 3 job offers, and all 3 job offers were rescinded.
So that represents one of the ways that a lot of online abusers tend to perpetrate these crimes. Cynthia, what were some of the other forms of online abuse, online intimidation that you encountered as you were doing this documentary?
So when I began the film, it was out of hearing of these stories of these coordinated online mobs who generally were not individuals who are necessarily known to the person being targeted, but were you know, anonymous people or strangers who were targeting them and issuing these violent threats over the internet. However, the further I got into the film, the more I discovered the pervasiveness of situations where the online harassment, as in Tina's case, is a dimension of domestic and intimate partner violence. So, you know, major privacy violations, what's often called revenge porn, more commonly sort of by professionals referred to as non-consensual image exploitation. You know, this is something that many, many people are targeted with, and it is very often a part of domestic violence. Digital stalking, having monitoring software put on your computer, death threats, being impersonated. One of the women in the film is being advertised for intimate encounters on Craigslist for several years without her consent. And, you know, whoever is doing this has been sending men to her home, to her workplace. So there's sort of a real range of ways that the internet can be weaponized against people. And in my experience, you know, it really runs from you know, death threats, threats of violence, threats of sexual violence, to stalking, to monitoring, to impersonation, to the creation of these websites, as with what Tina experienced, that are designed to destroy your career prospects and your relationships.
It seems as though institutional responses are often very similar. So, Tina, when you first reached out to institutions, how did they respond?
They actually said to me, we cannot make a decision on whether this is harassment or not. It's not up to us to decide. And they didn't want to weigh in on it. And oftentimes they cited Section 230 of the law that actually gives them immunity from making those decisions.
Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act basically says that site operators are not liable for the content that anyone posts on their platforms. So the speech that is expressed or the things that are posted on those platforms by, let's say, you know, a perpetrator who's posting, in Tina's case, these websites that are meant to harm her, the website themselves can't be held accountable. And then you get into the complexity of whether those sites are protected First Amendment speech. And that is certainly, from my understanding, you know, what Tina ran up against when trying to get law enforcement to take the sites down, was that, you know, the perpetrator then threatened to sue them for violating his First Amendment constitutional right to free speech and expression.
Right. And the platforms as well were leery to make that call, that decision on whether it's harassment or not, because I do believe they were concerned that the harasser would then come after them, citing First Amendment protection.
Well, the documentary gets into the First Amendment, and that is an argument you hear quite a lot. But as your documentary points out, freedom of speech in this country has always had some amount of limitations.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you can't threaten to kill people. You can't threaten to bomb people. You can't threaten to bomb public places. You can't generally post, you know, defamatory lies about people. Privacy violations are generally not protected speech. So, you know, there's a whole range of expression, speech, and behaviors that are demonstrated in, you know, various forms of online harassment. And yet when it comes to getting law enforcement to intervene, there's just not a lot of response, even though aside from the untangling of when a threat is what is called, quote, a true threat, which is what law enforcement will act upon. They would say, well, we don't know if the person threatening to shoot you with your address in the message, we don't know if that person is actually, you know, sitting outside your apartment or if they're in another country. So we don't really think that's a true threat. of course, someone who's on the receiving end of that threat would probably feel really differently about whether or not that's an actual threat that should be taken seriously.
As you were going through this documentary, reporting on it, did the rationale from the police department, did that ever make sense to you?
I would say the rationale is tied up in a lot of prejudice against women. Often what you find is that crimes that disproportionately affect women, like domestic violence and spousal abuse and sexual harassment and street harassment and stalking, you know, these crimes are often disproportionately affecting women and are not responded to by law enforcement because it's considered, you know, in the case of domestic violence, it's often considered it's a family thing. In the case of stalking, you have to go to such great lengths to prove that your stalker is a danger to you in order to get a restraining order. You know, so this is all part and parcel of the ways in which law enforcement respond to crimes that disproportionately affect women. So when you have women saying someone's like threatening to kill me on the internet, like, do you mind looking into that? Generally, you know, the response is just turn off your computer, but that has no way of protecting you or has no relationship to the threats that you're receiving, aside from just the bias that happens for crimes that disproportionately affect women, are these attitudes that, for example, if a nude picture of you exists and somehow becomes used against you as, you know, quote, revenge porn, that you deserve what you get, because if you're a good woman, there wouldn't be a naked picture of you that was in existence. So I think there's a lot of prejudice against women for not being, quote, you know, perfect victims. The notion that if you happen to be a woman in public and a journalist who's out there expressing your opinions, you know, that you somehow have brought these attacks upon yourself, and therefore, you know, why should law enforcement get involved if, you know, the simplest thing for you to do would be to just, you know, shut up, get offline and stop doing your work.
The responses do seem to work on this kind of rationale of, well, if you disengage from the internet, if you disengage from society, then you'll have nothing to fear. And yet, at least the women in your documentary, you know, they were inspired to do just the opposite. Tina, why did you want to share your story? What was it about this experience that you said, you know, I need to get out there, I need to tell people?
It was a couple of things. One, I really thought that awareness needed to be raised around this so this would not happen to other women, happen to other people. In my case, it shut down my life, both professionally and socially. And I just thought, you know, it's a pretty horrendous situation to have happen. And if I could raise awareness, get people to think differently about the internet, about laws around the internet, then maybe I can help create some change. Also, I didn't want to let the perpetrator shut me down. Basically, he was trying to shut me down in speech. And I thought it was really important to stand up for myself and say, you know what, no matter what I've done in the past, no matter what, how he tries to paint me, I'm not that person. And I want to speak up about this, even though every time I tried to speak up about it, it only enraged him more, and he created more websites and wrote more horrific things. But I wanted to show him that wasn't going to stop me.
I have to ask, do you feel like anything's getting better? Do you feel like there's more legislation being enacted to prevent this kind of abuse, this kind of abuse online?
I have a few answers to that question. There has been some legislation that's been passed, for example, following the situation called Marines United, where there was a Facebook group that was, people were submitting nude pictures or, you know, otherwise explicit pictures of fellow armed forces members, generally women. And this had become, you know, this huge privacy violation and form of harassment that was taking place in the armed forces. Laws were passed to outlaw revenge porn or non-consensual pornography in the military. So that's great. the search engines have also now banned non-consensual pornography from their search engines. So if you have an image on that is coming up on Google that is revenge porn, you can now get that down. They will take down revenge porn that is coming up in search engine results. So that's great. It's still on the primary site, but it's at least off of, you know, your Google searches. So it's not coming up if you're trying to get a job. Those are all really good things. But I will say that, you know, we're witnessing a really profound backlash right now to the Me Too movement, in which there's this notion that there's a witch hunt going on to go after men. And I think that that is outrageous development. I think that the fact that many women who come forward and who, you know, courageously put their stories out there do so with the knowledge that they are probably going to be targeted and attacked by coordinated online mobs. And that's happening all the time. So, you know, it's a complicated answer. You know, the websites are aware that it's a really big problem on their platforms. They have been forced to become aware of abuse of their platforms because the government is now investigating abuses of the major platforms in the wake of the 2016 election. Things like impersonation and fake accounts and violent threats and all these things are now being looked at vis-a-vis the election. But, you know, a lot of people will say, well, the harassment that was taking place and the attacks on women were really the canary in the coal mine. And my hope with the film is that this project will be a real catalyst for change. I want this film to be a real tool to educate communities. So what we're working on right now is getting the film out to young people, to educators, to students, to law enforcement, to policymakers, to intimate partner violence advocates, to teen dating violence advocates. The great thing about online harassment is that it's something that I think most of us have a stake in. Because of that, I think there's tons of potential for all of us to be really engaged in determining what our online communities look like and holding each other, our leaders, our policymakers, and these tech companies accountable for the kinds of experiences that we have on these platforms.
I would just like to add that if anyone is going through online harassment or they know anyone that's going through it, please keep in mind that it's a very isolating experience and try to support anyone that you know is going through it. And also, just as when you post things, think about what you're posting. Think about what you want to put out into the world, because those words do have an effect. Even though you're just sitting behind your computer, they have a big impact on the person that reads them.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time out to speak with me. And thank you for sharing your work here on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much.
Cynthia Lowen is the director and producer of Netizens, and Tina Riney is one of the subjects of the film. The documentary will have three showings at the Milwaukee Film Festival, including one this weekend. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and for more information, you can head to wuwm.com.